What about prayer? George, I bought that identical jacket for my husband. Peter, you have good news for us.
Maybe both.
Let's wait to see what her husband says.
Let's turn to 881 first. That should be the rough one. Thank you.
Senator, should I...
Would you sit, or if you're Mark Howell?
No, I don't be seated. I didn't know what the procedure was.
Yeah, right. If you state your name for the record, please.
The Honorable Senator, my name is Morris Engelgau. I'm from Coquille, Oregon. Should I indicate...
Sure.
I'm here on behalf, or as a proponent of Senate Bill Number 881. This is a bill which would validate marriages contracted prior to January 1st of this year, January 1st, 1973. It would amend existing ORS 107.142, which validated marriages contracted prior to January 1, 1971, which marriages were contracted during the 60-day waiting period. Everything else, there being no other impediments, or in other words, the marriages being regular except for having been contracted during that 60-day period.
Well, you might explain how that happened, because there is some feeling that these people have willfully disregarded the law.
Well, this happens in a number of ways. In the particular way that I'm interested, my own particular case, the language says neither party shall remarry until the expiration of 60 days from the date of this decree. The marriage I'm particularly interested in was contracted 60 days at the end of, it was the 61st day, but and many courts construe this language to mean that you disregard the first, or you, the first day doesn't count as part of the 60 days, and then you have 60 clear days, and then it's the day after that. A lot of people are under, or have the misapprehension that they can marry in another state, and that this rule doesn't apply, because this is what is known as an interlocutory decree. The decree of divorce is granted and entered, and their wills are, everything is, they're divorced except for the running of the 60 days. And the only reason for that is because that is the appeal to an appellate court time. And generally, the reason, there used to be a 6-month waiting period in Oregon, but usually the reason people do fall into this error, they think that this applies only in Oregon, or they don't understand, those are the usual reasons. In my own particular case, the reason I'm interested in here today is I have this client, as I say, who's, whether the date, the time is doubtful, at least, whether they waited that 60-day period or not. And in the interim, after they were married, her husband was killed, and she's now a widow, or she will be a widow if she had a legal marriage. That's why I'm particularly interested in it. There will be another witness, as I understand it, Gary Lockwood from Hood River, Oregon. His problem is somewhat different. I think he'll be here, but I don't know if it's all right to go ahead and tell what he told me if he doesn't show Senator
sure,
Brown. Well, I think he will be here to talk to you, but he told me that this is his situation, that he represents a serviceman who was divorced in Oregon and was advised by his, and contracted a marriage, was advised by his legal officer that he could contract a marriage and would be eligible for benefits, that is, as a married person in the service, as long as he didn't apply during that 60-day waiting period. So he contracted his marriage and then didn't apply till after the 60-day period ran. Then a period of time did run, and the record showed this marriage within the 60 days, and so they have assessed him for all these benefits on the grounds that he's not married, that the marriage is void. Now, in his case, he could enter and go through another ceremony with his present wife, and they, of course, would be married. But that still wouldn't remedy his problem, because his problem is, they say, well, that marriage was void back then, and it would be, if there were a litigation, it probably would be void. So, I don't know, this is a bill that...
So, what are you saying, that the funds that were paid to his wife could be recollected by the government?
That's right, the government has instituted proceedings and to recover these funds that have been paid off. And this probably, it's difficult to say how many persons this affects here today, this type of validating legislation.
881.
Comes to light really when a specific instance occurs, but the legislation has been passed by legislatures of the 71, the 65 legislature also. That's about all I believe I have to say on it. If there are any questions, that
questions
I
can... by the committee. George, do you have any comments?
We do this about.
I was going to say, I thought it was every session. Every session. You said 65, isn't it?
There was a 65, 71. I think there were two sessions there that it wasn't presented.
Generally speaking, it's done by every legislature. Now, briefly, Mr. Engelbaum testified that he has a client. The question is marrying within the 60-day period after divorce. He has a client who married on what she thought was the 61st day, and the court counts differently. And no problem. Clerk will call the roll on due pass.
All right. Senator Ivey?
Aye.
Senator Boyd?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. Thank you.
Thank
sorry
you, Senator.
Come so far.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
143.
This is by way of information. Madam Chairman, are the other two members excused? Just a little.
Keith Burns is, John Burns is late, and the members of your right, if you could tell me, I'd be glad to.
Yeah.
Is
he on? Senator Revin.
We need everybody there.
I thought we'd get ready for it.
Would you like to come up together, or did you want to come up?
I just thought I'd make a very brief introductory statement if I could. I'm Jim Desendorf, the chairman of the Oregon Commission on Uniform State Laws. Our job, of course, is to get before you whatever you need to give adequate consideration to this bill. Assistant professor and assistant dean at the University of Oregon Law School, George Dawson, is here. He's got a brief statement and a detailed examination of the which he has prepared, and if after his presentations there's anything more you want, it's up to me to try to get it. Thank you.
Would you do it? If you wait just a minute, one of my concerns with this bill, if you come up, Mr. Dawson, is that when this bill was given to this committee, it was in such poor shape that it was rejected by our engrossing and enrolling department, and work was done on it, and it was sent down again and rejected, and I would like to know if it is now, if you have checked it, and it's in proper order.
Slowly.
It's my understanding that it's now in proper order. I'm sorry for the other occurrence, but just one of those things.
It's under height.
Mr. Dizendorf, I took your name in vain the last time. I said that I'd like to be sure that Mr. Dizendorf has read this bill thoroughly, the punctuation is correct, and is properly worded. I'd like to ask you two questions. Before I ask you that question to your face, I'd like to ask you how it happened to come be introduced incorrectly, improperly, for order.
I asked my assistant, Craig Iverson, who is a brand new lawyer, to work with someone in the legislative counsel's office to prepare it. Apparently he misunderstood what he was told by the first person he talked to, and when the thing was called to his attention, he came back down again, and I think now it's done right.
But have you checked it personally?
I personally have not checked it.
The only person, Madam Chairman, that I remember that said that they had apparently checked it was a professor. And I like professors, but I'd kind of like to know that some of them out in the vineyard had done the same thing.
Well, I think you'll find when you hear Professor Dawson that he's gone through it as closely as anyone can.
I figured that if you or Roop or both of you had read this carefully, I'd book the damn thing if it was upside down.
Thank you. Well, with that, I'll try to get you anything else you need if what Professor Dawson has for you isn't enough. Thank you.
Fine. Professor Dawson?
My name is George Dawson. I am an assistant professor and assistant dean at the University of Oregon Law School.
Could I suggest, Professor, that you hand out those things that you've
yes,
got?
Yes, I will. I'll start them around. But there weren't enough copies, I believe.
There are two sets, so you need one of each.
I am a member of the Colorado State Bar, but not of the Oregon Bar. I make this statement on my behalf. I do not appear on behalf of the University of Oregon, the Oregon State Board of Higher Education, or the Oregon State Bar Association as such, of which I'm not a member.
All those facts are in your favor there.
I'm glad to hear that, although I heard some comments last week about law professors, which gave me pause for thought. I am testifying in support of Senate Bill 143, and before I begin, the thinner statement is a statement which I wrote, in which I attempt to focus in non-technical terms on what appear to me to be the most substantial modifications or amendments represented by Senate Bill 143. The thicker statement was prepared by Professor Richard Smith, who taught last spring at the University of Oregon Law School, and by me, as a detailed technical analysis of the changes which the bill represents.
Let me ask you, sir, before you go further, have you, in fact, examined this printed bill, and are you satisfied with the shape it's in?
I think I would mislead you if I told you that I read every comma. I have, however, in preparing my testimony, worked through the bill, and to my knowledge, there are no mistakes insofar as the bill both states present Oregon law and states the changes that have been proposed by the American Law Institute. But I would be happy to go through it comma by comma for you. I haven't done that. I wasn't
not
sure
asking
that it had not
you
been done.
To do it here, but if
I would
you
be happy to do it
at home and reassure
home.
Us. In view of our previous experience, I think we would all appreciate it.
Well, Sherman, I'm still disturbed. How could you say, sir, that you know this is right when you haven't read it that carefully?
Well, let me say two things. The detailed technical analysis you will notice has somewhat different numbering, I'm sorry, than the Oregon revised statutes. That is because when Professor Smith and I were asked to comment on the legislation, was last spring, a year ago this spring, and it was not yet an introduced bill. And preparing my testimony, I have had the bill before me and have keyed my testimony to the section numbers in the bill. Therefore, I have read those sections. But I did not compare the Uniform Act against the bill in all instances.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Smith.
Will you please share with the rest of the committee the experience you've had with legislative council. I'm really not familiar with that.
Well, the bill came to us as a bill from uniformed commissioners. We sent it down to E&E, and, well, John, you tell them.
So the bill went down to E&E once, and they had a lot of difficulty with it. They had to send it back to the uniformed commissioners to have it reworked.
Well, didn't they work 2 or 3 days on it before they
finished? Yes, they did. A person down in E&E told me that they were having difficulty with it, so I called down and told them to hold it up and we would send it back rather than have them go through the entire bill. So it went back and came back to E&E, and again they had difficulties with it. They went through with the thing at that time, however.
I mean, trying to get the bill to conform, the amendment statutes to conform with existing law.
No, it was mainly form and style changes in the sense that when it first came down, pages were misplaced. Evidently there had been cutting and pasting of the... Yeah.
I can assure you that that is not the case in the bill now. I know that the sections are in the right place and the pages are in the right place.
What
I don't know about the comments.
Citations?
The citations are correct.
Well, the commas sometimes make a great deal of difference.
That's true, and I
tried to hear quiet.
Truly.
Well, I just speak my mind. I respect this gentleman. I don't know him. But I don't want to sit through reading this. I just want to know that some people I have confidence know this damn bill's in good shape. Now, not to question your words, sir, but you did say that you couldn't speak to the commas. Mr. Dizendorf has said that he has not done it. I think that some people from the bar that we all know are active and have read this can say, because when we take this to the floor, we're going to have to give our word that this is in good shape. And that means that if we're going to endorse it, check the one who wrote it.
I agree, Senator, and I'm sorry. I would have gone through that type of analysis had I been aware that the problems had existed.
Well, as I'm concerned, this is great, but it's no good for me. I'm not a research man. I'm going to take this on faith, and I don't know what church I'm joining.
Well, you're aware that the bill has been up for hearing several times. I do know that you waited at the last hearing fruitlessly, but it was up several times before, and nobody appeared.
I understand that.
I guess that was my fault because I was never notified that there was any hearing on the bill, although I asked to be notified.
Well, Madam Chairman,
Senator Johnson,
to further explore what everyone else has said, might it be possible for Professor Dawson, who maybe we could ask your indulgence, a little bit more, because I appreciate you having been here and coming back, but might it be possible to ask him to take the printed bill now and to compare the section-by-section analysis that he previously made with language in the printed bill, and then after you have done that, confer with Mr. Dizendorf, and then come back to the committee. It would involve some work on your part outside of the committee, but it would involve one more appearance here. And the point I think that needs to be stressed is that with the rush toward adjournment beginning, which I would expect to be accelerating in the next week or two, unless this bill is in complete shape when it comes out of this committee, it's never going to get through the House committee. And you have an inexperienced Judiciary Committee over there. So I should think that it would behoove you to do that, to satisfy us completely. If it sails through the Senate, you won't have any problem over there. We do that?
The rest of the committee join with Senator Burns in his feeling.
I'll say now that I'm prepared to vote for the bill if I know it's in good shape. I believe in what you're trying to do.
I think we are all nervous with the experience we have and wouldn't be prepared to take it to the floor.
Senator, could I ask a question about Senator Burns has asked? the the testimony, the written statement I have and the technical testimony, I think, go to the substance of the bill, and I would not add to them unless I found something wrong in the bill, which
right.
I don't think is there. You want to know, on a technical level, whether the bill is right.
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 Is that right?
We don't
fine.
Want
I would be
to
glad
read and communicate court cases for the next
chairman?
2 years of the errors that we made. Senator Smith.
Just to give you one example, and I haven't read this bill either, but I turn to page 37 currently, and I read subsection D, line 22, when the collateral is timber to be cut, or is minerals, or the like, or accounts, subject to subsection 5. I suggest to you that it's not in good style or form, or doesn't give to me the meaning that you want.
I would respond, Senator Smith, by saying that I believe that in the language that the drafters of the Uniform Act use, that probably is exactly the language they used.
Or is minerals?
Or is minerals, or the like. It would read, when the collateral is timber to be cut, or is minerals, that is, the collateral is minerals, or the like.
Maybe you're right.
It may not be...
Sounds very strange to me.
Some of this code does sound very strange. I suppose it doesn't sound strange to me because I teach it and read it quite a bit, but I will check things like that.
I think the committee would be very appreciative if you would do that. And
there was a gentleman, Madam Chairman, I believe he was from one of the banks. Do you remember who that was, anybody?
Wait,
sat over there.
Joe Turner.
Huseman? John Huseman.
Yes, I believe it was John
Huseman. Yes.
He acted like he read the bill, to pardon the expression.
Right.
And I just thought that maybe that he read it more than some of the others, that he might be, because he was, I think he represented one of the banks. The
difference was he got paid to read it, and Professor Dawson.
There's a big difference, I know that.
Well, Professor Dawson, Madam Chairman, I'm not an English major. But I don't care whether it's in the uniform code or not, that is miserable construction.
I don't think I'm in a position to quarrel with you,
or
maybe for that matter to agree with you on that point. Pardon me.
I suggest to you that or minerals is probably a better construction.
All right, I agree.
Well, if you would undertake that, sir,
I
would appreciate it.
Should I get in touch with you?
Yes,
but
if you would notify us as soon as you're ready, we'd like to move on it.
Okay, and I would like to get that early next week, to testify early next week if that's possible, too, because I'll be out of Oregon after that.
Fine.
Okay.
Very
I'm sorry to have taken your time. I wish I had gone
well,
through that analysis.
Well,
sorry. We've got a tough talk about it, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a bill here if you're interested in submitting it. This is a bill which was brought to my attention by the Court of Appeals. Inmates that are injured are covered by workman's compensation, and they're allowed attorney benefits on and they're processing their original claim. Somehow or another, the proper references were left out so that they are not allowed attorney fees to appeal a claim that is turned down. What's your pleasure in putting it in?
Who pays these fees? Is it Dana Slaxon?
I would assume it does.
Is this for injuries before they were?
No.
While
they're in.
We had a special fund or something.
There's an inmates injury fund, and they pass through the workman's comp, and we picked up the statute picks up the one that allows them attorney fees on their original claim. But if they want to make any appeal, and attorney fees are allowed to everybody else, but not to them.
If they lost their appeal, who would pay their attorney?
We
Well, does that mean the ombud, does that mean the legal aid, or?
Well, I assume you're not interested, okay? There's going to be a meeting on Monday, as far as I know, at 1 o'clock. There won't be one at 4 o'clock. Hector McPherson has a special bill that he'd like to...
Ready for a little work session, Chairman, if you want to tie in some of these bills.
Do we get anything we can pass out, easy?
Or table?
Or table?
Go back to some of those bills that we had on last time, House bills that we didn't get to.
Did we table 377?
No.
Let's table 377. That's the one that joint resolution supplanted for the governor to pardon or commute sentences. Senator Hoyt moves that we table Senate Bill 377.
Can you hear that out of the mess? I'm upset.
Oh, all right. Senator Ivers table 3.
I didn't hear what you said.
Well, she's playing a trick on you. Can we do it by some other way?
I remember that. All right, I'll move it.
I'll move it.
All right.
Table 377. Well, I'd move it, too.
Okay. First call. Senator
Johnson. I'm not scared. I guess you already approved it.
We've got another resolution or something on that. Right?
Yeah.
We've already taken care of it.
Senator Ivers.
Aye.
Senator Boyd.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
Is the loggers lien
bill
on
Stoltz in good order?
Yes, it does.
That grapevine
is
really great up there.
What number is that?
It's better than
any newspaper. Let me get it. I'm going to take my book.
I figure if I win today, you know, another day might be...
Right, you're building up credit.
That's House Bill 2371.
It's in the slick book?
It should be in the dull book. They switched all of the bills that have not been acted upon up to the dull book.
What about the dating of the veterinarians?
That's a judge's job, right?
I move we table 886. It's a bill that exempts veterinarians from jury duty.
Oh, man. You got me out of your mind.
You want that?
You want that?
You want that bill?
That's Jason's bill.
Veterinarians? I thought he was an optometrist.
Well, optometrists come next week.
Closely akin to veterinarians.
Only a psychologist would say that.
Yeah, there's some...
If you can't look a horse now, what can you do with a half?
Uh-oh.
This is the...
I don't understand that.
This is McPherson's bill that... I have a Bob Staley. I thought this was Stoltz's bill.
He came and testified on the bill, but not here.
Yeah. What's the number? I'm going to pass it on.
2371. Been moved to pass by Senator Smith.
I'm going to report it out.
Yeah, okay. Pass out 2392,
Madam Chair. Discussion?
Well, let's see, we amended that. I think there was a question about the Justice of the Peace, wasn't there?
The committee asked that I call Judge Bellows on that, and I called her, and she opposes the insertion of the Justice of the Peace. She said, first of all, there are a few justices of the peace who are lawyers, Secondly, very few, she said that very few of them handle, or the justices of the peace don't handle probate now.
They don't.
And she said that if justices of the peace are included, she would suggest that they be given the same exemption as our district attorneys. And I believe that if they're making more than $13,000, then they cannot engage in other activities, whereas if they're making less than that, they can have some other form of income for some other activity. It's not, they can't be a personal representative. It simply says that if a district attorney is making $13,000, if he's being paid that for his services, he cannot engage in some other activity that would provide him with income.
I move on line 20 to take out a justice of the peace.
They moved on line 20 to take out justices of the peace. Is there objection? So ordered.
The bill out, Madam Chairman, is amended.
The bill out as amended. Discussion? Clerk call roll.
Senator Johnson.
Aye.
Senator Iris.
Aye.
Senator Boyd.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Madam Chairman.
Aye. How about 2654? Were there amendments to that?
What book?
The same book. They're all the same
book. What book?
Yeah. No.
No, they're all the same
book. Those we haven't acted on are all the same book, I guess.
Are all the bills we haven't acted on in this book, then I don't need the other book.
Right.
Then I'm only going to take one book.
Well, this is the one the nurse testified on?
Bunch of them.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that one.
Well, this is the one that they don't have to take.
They don't have to
transcript
to
the and deliver. It's done down to the court. Move it out, be passed.
Now, wait a minute. Well, what about the cross-examination of the doctor?
They could still bring him. Bring the nurse, but all they do, they don't question the nurse anymore, they question the doctor.
All right, I think it's a good bill. It saves you the subpoena fee of making them wait around all day.
Kirk Conwell.
Senator Johnson.
Aye.
Senator Ivers.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Hoyt.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye, I just don't know if you're
sure. Aye.
So I say, oh,
move the table, House Bill 2713.
Discussion. Clerk call roll.
Excuse me, sir. I'm trying to remember. Didn't someone testify in favor of this?
Now, I don't have any notes that anybody did. I have a note that a Mr. Darby testified against it.
Yes, I know that. Okay.
Senator
Johnson. Aye.
Senator
Ives.
Aye. Senator
White.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Senator
Kennedy.
Aye.
Keep it up.
Aye.
You're doing fine.
What we got left, John?
If you want to table a few bills, there's 802, which was very similar to 708 on obscenity and pornography, as well as 103, unless the committee wants to take some further action in that area.
802
and 103, both.
What do we do, amend some of that into another bill?
708.
708 was an amalgamation, and whatever was left over, Fred Hertz got in a separate bill in professional responsibility, so the waterfront table 802. Clerk call the roll.
Senator
Johnson.
Aye.
Senator
Senator White?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye. Senator Johnson? Aye. Senator Johnson? Aye. Senator Johnson? Aye. Senator Johnson? Aye. Senator Johnson?
Aye. Senator Johnson? Aye.
My name's on it, too.
Everybody's name's on it.
Yeah.
Where's mine?
I don't see yours there.
Yeah. Somebody struck it. I'm going to continue to strike it.
say...
That's the person's bill.
You're going to move to table 103.
Yeah.
Do we have to vote on it yet?
No.
No.
What's the other bill we've got that we've amended? 708?
708.
That's passed out.
Oh. I have 176 in my book, and it's in Ways and Means. It shouldn't be here. You have it in your book?
Well, isn't this the bill that Hector's going to testify on Monday?
No,
it's the zoning bill.
I don't have 176.
Well, I mean, Hector's the first.
No, it's 103 we're trying to table.
708 is the one that we've
passed. I thought that Hector McPherson had a bill up here that we were going to use as a base for some action.
That's it.
And you're going to table it?
Well,
no,
we're going to pass
it up.
Oh, excuse me. I beg your pardon.
So, this one is now excess.
Can I amend this to include Senate Bill 100?
Is there a motion to table?
I move it.
Okay. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator John Green?
Aye.
Senator Ivers?
Aye.
Senator White?
No.
Okay. Senator Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye.
Yeah, but we passed the same bill out. With amended with all the Haas amendments,
no,
and Senate Bill
706. Minus most of the Haas amendments.
Minus most of them.
All right,
whatever.
Well, I think that's about as much as we can do today.
Good.
The meeting is adjourned.